fly today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Jared Kushner's family business is accused of pushing out rent-stabilized tenants. Here's more from USA's Rick Vincent.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is launching an investigation to determine if White House senior advisor Jared Kushner's family real estate company harassed tenants at a Brooklyn waterfront property so that they would leave their rent-stabilized apartments. Housing Rights Initiative Director Aaron Carr.
Kushner Company created a living situation that was so intolerable and so unlivable that a myriad of tenants simply gave up their rights for the sake of their sanity and their safety. And their apartments were subsequently converted into luxury condominiums.
The announcement by the Democratic governor comes after tenants at the Austin Nichols House on Kent Avenue in Williamsburg filed a lawsuit and said the company started major construction that released dangerous toxins in the air. They charged that the building was unlivable for tenants. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
Severe storms drenched the Northeast, forcing delays or cancellations of thousands of flights. It wreaked havoc around Washington, D.C. The storm came quickly, swamping nearly two dozen cars on the heavily traveled GW Parkway outside the city and caused a huge leak on Capitol Hill as water poured from the ceilings in the Cannon House office building. Nearby Metro Station looked more like a waterfall during the height of the storm, and the same heavy rain flooded the dugouts at Nationals Park just ahead of the start of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help. Got the weather forecast today. Today looks sunny, high of 84. High again tomorrow, 83. And sunny again on Friday at 85. Looks like we might have some thunderstorms over the weekend on Saturday and Sunday. And we'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith, and welcome to Happy to Help. It's a show about volunteering and encouraging people in the community to volunteer by talking to other people in the community who are volunteers and have volunteered. And if you're tuning in or if you're on Facebook, you can watch us. We're on Facebook Live today. And the address on Facebook is @HappyHunterdon or Happy to Help. So tune in and check us out. Today we have two students with us. Welcome Thomas and Cameron. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Well, these two students are here to talk about their involvement in service in their community. And most recently, they are returning from a service camp, a mission trip with the local Catholic Church. And they were up in Plattsburgh, New York for a couple weeks. And so let's talk to them first about what that entailed and what went on. So, Thomas, can you start us off and tell us kind of the overview of what your group did in Plattsburgh for a week?
Okay, so I went with this. Closer, my bad.
That's okay. There you go.
I went with the St. James Youth Ministry. It was about, I think, 50 kids total, and then 60 people because we had parent chaperones. We went up to Plattsburgh for a week to kind of just immerse ourselves in the community, kind of give back a little bit as a church function. They had us staying in a school, I think it was Seton Catholic High School, for the entire week, sleeping in classrooms, and then we would go out for, I think it was about 6 hours a day, and they would assign us different groups. We would go out in said groups to work, and I can't listen to that.
Okay.
6 hours a day, they would have us working at different work sites. I personally got sent to a school, a Catholic school, that had been recently turned into sort of like a shopping center. It was kind of like a community center that people could come and buy stuff, sort of like Goodwill or like Salvation Army. We were doing yard work there. We were landscaping a lot, cleaning out parts of the old buildings. It was a lot of fun. I don't know, Cameron, what did you do?
Yeah, what did your group do, Cameron?
We went up to almost only a mile from the Canadian border to this big house. Lots of history. The family loved to tell us how everything got there and their family history. But they had a shed, which they said during the 1800s was actually like one of their family's houses. And our job was to clean it up, paint it, and scrape the paint, paint it. And then we also did a lot of yard work, moving wood down to one near the river that they had so that there wouldn't be any runoff from their property.
That's cool. Well, it's interesting, and you talked about the living conditions in this cabin, but it sounds like even when you guys were staying in the school, you were under kind of a bare bones living quarters yourself, right? You said you were on the floor in the church or in a school?
In a high school. What they had us doing was, it's actually an annual thing. They have these, it's part of an organization called Catholic Heartworks. They have us, yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I got to remember to be close to this thing.
You're doing
it's
fine.
It's part of a organization called Catholic Heartworks Camps, and what they do is they have them spread out across the nation in different parts. Previously, we had gone to Richmond, Virginia. We'd gone to Boston, Massachusetts. It was a lot of fun. It's always about a week long. What they have us doing is they put us in sort of a, not low quality, but like low cost high school. It's usually, sometimes an elementary school, a place where, you know, we have free shower facilities, a cafeteria they can use. And what they do is they house the girls and boys in different sections. They give each church maybe a classroom for all of their kids. We bring sleeping bags. We bring air mattresses. We bring whatever we need to kind of just survive there for a week, have a lot of fun. It's as low cost as we can, so all the money can go more so towards buying equipment, buying supplies, to helping the people in that community we're visiting, but it's still enough for us to get the essentials, I think.
Yeah, and it's kind of fun because, you know, it's temporary, right? And you're just in these dire conditions. Well, they're not totally dire, but you're kind of more, it's building camaraderie and community among everybody in the involved. Can you tell us about, Thomas, how did you all raise the money for the trip?
Well, we specifically every year, the annual thing we do is we always have a car wash. Everybody loves their car wash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they're effective.
The church has a car wash once a year to get money for that. They ask for donations throughout church for a couple months leading up to that. A lot of the money that was like put to us being able to go to your, you know, bus fare, like supplies for people, a lot of water. It was very hot there.
Yeah.
We need a lot of water. A lot of that was actually done personally. What our youth minister, her name's Karen, what she actually has us doing is kind of writing letters, family, friends, people that we feel like would have it in the kindness of their hearts to donate, you know, whatever little they can to try and help our cause. What she ends up trying to have us do is getting a certain amount of money individually for us that we can then use as kind of donation that we can kind of pool and use that to, you know, fund everything. Besides that, there were a few, like some people had it out of the kindness of their hearts to do their own kind of fundraisers. For us specifically, there was a woman who was so inspired by one of the talks given at church. She owned a vineyard vine store, I think, in Short Hills. And
she's the manager there. Yeah, I think I know her, yeah.
She had a sale for a day where I think it was like 10% or 20% of anything that was bought would go to funding for that. There was a deal at Panera Bread in Riverwalk.
Or up above there, yeah. Okay,
so,
yeah.
I think it's awesome that some people kind of, like, they're so inspired by this that they try and take it upon themselves to helping us whatever little helps.
Yeah, and the Vineyard Vines, that can be pretty lucrative, because we did that for Room to Read, and in 3 hours we made like $1,000. Wow. It was crazy.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, the Vineyard Vines. Well, because it's a very good deal, and she's a great community leader person too, so that's great. Mm-hmm. Cameron, can you tell us a little bit more about this family? Was there any story that stuck out that they shared with you? I love the history.
Yeah, well, so like I said, their shed was smaller than this room, was their grandma's house. Mm-hmm. Back in, I guess, the late 1800s, and they had moved it to that property. The house that they were staying in was also very historic, but it was right on a river, and at that time, they had also, near the river, they had a boathouse, and in that boathouse, they had a very big crane, a wooden crane, that the man said was his father's, and I guess he said they'd floated it down the river from their original property, because at that time they didn't have any big tractor trailers or 18 wheelers to take it down the highway to their house. So I think the whole area was very historic. They had lots of different machines in one of their sheds, very old, but I think it was very cool to see all that.
Yeah, and were they interacting with you some, or did they just kind of talk to you and then let you do your work? And
I think they were very particular of how they wanted it, so they were pretty involved with us. One time I had to help paint a window or a window pane, and it was really stressful because they were all over me, and this other girl that was helping me, and you had to make sure you weren't dripping anything, you weren't using too much, too little, because the mother and son, and the mother had grown up during, I guess, the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. So she had passed the idea down to the son of being very conservative with all of their supplies. So if you used, like, just a tiny bit too much, they would really not be happy. So you always had to be conscious of that.
Well, I love that, because I mean, we are in America, especially, and I think in this day and age, we are so wasteful. Like, my kids take 25 minute showers, I'm about ready to kill them. So yeah, so it's good to have that perspective of people that grew up when they had absolutely nothing. And so I think even though they were micromanaging you with mm-hmm. the paint, they had good reason, because when you grow up in those dire circumstances, that doesn't leave you easily. So you carry that on. My grandmother used to have a giant ball of rubber band. She saved every rubber band there ever was, because, you know, she grew up in a time where there wasn't, you know, you saved everything. And I've said it before on this show, there was a Great Depression saying, it was use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without.
Yeah, they only said that like 100 times.
I love it. I love it. And it's so true, because, you know, in today's world, it's everything's made of plastic, you throw it away, and that only adds to the landfills. And, you know, so I love that perspective. So, mm-hmm. and again, the service that you guys went on, you get to go deeper into your faith, you get to work with your peers, you get to, you know, get out of the bubble and experience other things, and experience other people that have lived through different things. So I think, again, the service is an incredible experience for so many different reasons. So Thomas, can you tell us a little bit about the faith aspect of the trip? Did you all have morning prayer, afternoon prayer, prayer all the time?
Basically prayer all the time. It was
which is good.
It was a church organization. So basically how it worked, they'd have us up at, not the break of dawn, but pretty early. Yeah,
yeah,
they'd wake us up
6,
maybe
15?
6:15, 6:30.
Okay. Yeah.
They'd wake us up bright at dawn, because they wanted us out to work by, I think it was around 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So in that span of like 2 hours, 2.5 hours, they would have us through breakfast, through an actual mass. Daily mass every morning, and sort of like not a prayer session, but kind of like just a talk to kind of get us going. And then after we get back from work, so probably around 3:30, we would have to shower. There was an off-site shower facility, because, you know, we're trying to get people through this as quick as possible.
So no 20-minute showers, huh?
It was brutal.
Yeah, you didn't really want to be there that long.
They had us at a community college, because what they did was, there were shower facilities because it was a high school, but they used that for the adult chaperones.
Yeah. Okay.
And they had the kids at this community college, and for the guys, it was great because there was just this one big room. Everybody wears bathing suits. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go in and get everything done. According to the girls that I know there, at least the girls in my group that were talking about it, there were only about two or three single stall showers for every girl to use. They said there was a line.
Girls are more high maintenance, right? So, well, that's good. Well, so, and then you had prayer.
We'd get back, we'd have free time, maybe a couple hours. Dinner at 5:30. After dinner, it would be, I think, a little more free time. And then there was a surprising amount of free time. I was really happy with that.
There wasn't, like, that much to do, but...
It was, well, I mean, it, not much to do, but, like, there were a lot of people there, and it allowed us to get a lot closer. I mean, I never would have known Cameron before this week, at least I don't think. He's 2 years below me. Mm-hmm. 2 years, I think? Yeah. You're 2 years below me. A lot of the people in his grade, some of the best, they were freshmen at the time or just came off of freshman year, some of the best guys I've met at a work camp. They were all hilarious. They were all so much fun to be around. Honestly, a little inspiring, too. We would come back from that free time after dinner, just be like a long prayer session. Then after that, just a little bit more free time to hang with your friends and then just go to sleep. I think lights out was what, like 11?
It was 10. I mean, the last. Yeah.
Being generous.
Yeah, no, the last day it was 11.
I'm being generous.
But, it was definitely around 10, but that did not stop us to talk until 11:30.
You can always tell how close people get on a work camp when they're keeping each other up till like 1, 2 a.m.
It's like a giant sleepover, right?
And the only reason you go to sleep is because your counselor kind of just shouts, hey, like, keep it down. And that's the counselor from like 2 rooms down.
So. Yeah.
And our spontaneous singing, stuff like the national anthem.
We did. Yeah, if we want to get into stuff, on the last night, second to last night, there was a spontaneous rendition of the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah, the room across from ours.
Which led into God Bless America. We had it every room. It was a hallway for all the boys, and there was probably a good 5-6 churches, maybe 7, just going down in like 7 or 8 different classrooms. And we had basically gotten every classroom to join in on this rendition of the Star Spangled Banner, and then into God Bless America until... we get to the end of that and we're like trying to scream different song ideas that we're thinking of, and we have the director at the end of the hallway screaming, go to bed already.
Well, you guys had to get pretty early up. We get up early, you need your beauty sleep.
I mean, we made do. It was fun.
I love hearing about this because, you know, I always try and tell people service is, it's not grueling, it is invigorating, it's so much fun. And you
it's
know
fun waking up after breakfast, not before breakfast.
All right, well, we're going to take a really quick commercial break and we'll be back.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we're back. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help, a show about volunteering and giving your time, talent, and treasure to help others and finding out how fun it is. And I've got two students here today. Thomas is a rising senior, and Cameron is a rising sophomore in high school. And they're talking about their adventures on a mission trip camp that they spent in New York earlier this summer. And so one thing I wanted to ask, so you talked about the free time and having fun and hanging out, so it wasn't a bunch of people sitting around staring into their phones. Did they take your phones, or you guys just...
No, it was. It was, okay, to a degree, a lot of people sitting around staring into their phones.
Well, okay, the thing was, they wouldn't give us the Wi-Fi.
Ah, so that's the
key. So a lot of people, you don't have... I don't know, at least I don't. I guess a lot of people don't. They don't have the... data plan, just be talking, or just be on their phone for a whole week. So
basically the way it worked was a lot of us, well, I mean, I brought a frisbee, I brought a football, I brought basically anything I could to pass
which
the time.
Is good.
I don't know, we had, this is the kind of place you go where there are just a lot of people from different branches of life. Like, I'm a track kid, I'm a basketball kid, but we got varsity football players, we got track people too. We have choir kids. We have theater kids. We have
that's
everybody.
The singing, huh?
So you know, you pull out a football and you're like, "Who wants to go for a couple plays?" And everybody kind of joins in, and it's great. Yeah, there would be those down times, especially late at night when everybody's too tired. You would be so tired by the end of these days, especially towards the end of the week. It was just basically how many more hours of like. How many more hours of energy you could squeeze out of yourself to get through the next day by Thursday, Friday. It was grueling. But especially towards the end of the day, it was just a bunch of people, you know, kind of sitting around either on their phones or that to a degree is kind of more so even when we get to getting to know each other, because at that point we're not in the midst of, you know, an intense football game or intense frisbee game or the dance parties that the Catholic Heartwork staff loved so much. We were, I don't know, just talking about, you know, everybody, people always say that when you're on a trip like that, you know, your phones kind of ruin it because, you know, they take you back to the real world. They put you back in these scenarios.
Exactly.
That kind of take you away from the... like the incredible adventure that you're on that week. To a degree, though, I kind of think that's beneficial in a way. Not for a lot, but at least for a little bit of time, just because that's when these people that you've never gotten to know before, that's when you really get to talk about, you know, the real stuff, the stuff that kind of maybe not isn't important to you, but stuff that you have to deal with in life. And I think that that's the more so the times, not the playing frisbee, not the playing football, but when I was just talking to people from my group, talking to the friends and the people in your grade that I never got to meet before, that was more of the time where I really got something out of it and feel like I kind of found a family there.
Yeah, that's profound. And it's totally true, though, because I think that's why I tell people about volunteering, because you get thrown into environments that you wouldn't otherwise, and you meet people that you wouldn't otherwise interact with. Like you said, the different ages just among, even though you're a couple years apart, but in other volunteer organizations, you've got elderly working with the little kids and middle-aged parents and other students and everything like that. So I think that is vital to helping you grow and helping you see things from other perspectives. And so I think that is incredible. And even though you didn't call it that, the baseball, the frisbee and all that, that was kind of like an icebreaker, because you're doing something that is just freedom and fun, and you're not in that awkward mode, and you're not just self-conscious because you're just out there throwing something around and hanging out. And then that leads you into being more comfortable later when you can get into more conversation or share problems or share issues. So you're living in actual reality versus virtual reality, which I think we need more of today, especially in your generation.
Yeah, it was fantastic. There was a church that came on this mission trip that came actually all the way from Minnesota. It was a
26-hour
drive. Minnesota. Talked exactly like that. It was hilarious. I try not to make fun of people.
My dad's from Minnesota, so I can say
very,
that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Like I said before, the way they broke it up was they assigned us into groups. It was usually everybody in one group was kind of from the same church, from the same area, but they would always give us an adult advisor, you know, so we don't go too insane. Yeah. So one of the advisors was one of the guys from Minnesota, and he was one of the best guys I've ever met on one of these trips. He was so kind. The different way of, like, the sayings he would tell me that are, I guess, popular in Minnesota that I had never heard in.
Yeah.
Like, it was really funny. We were talking about the whole, because we had people from South Jersey, we had people from North Jersey. We were talking about the whole pork roll versus Taylor debate. And we have this guy from Minnesota just walk in, and we're like, what do you call it, pork roll or Taylor ham? Because I have no idea what you're talking about. It was a lot of fun. Just the amount of different people you're able to meet, whether it's people from your group or the actual people you're helping, it's one of the better reasons to go on something like this.
Right, and it's funny because my daughter goes to school in Virginia, and they were talking about y'all, and we were just in Texas for 2 weeks, and they say y'all, and then she was telling her friend that in New Jersey we don't say y'all, and she goes, well, what do you say? It's like, well, you guys, and yeah, and then like around the country, some people call it Coke, some people call it pop, some people call it soda. So, I mean, just the little nuances that are just fun that are different just depending on where you grew up and the perspective that you have. So, Cameron, what other insights can you share from your... This is your first time on the trip, right?
Yes,
so, what kind of expectations did you have going into it, and then how did that come out on the other end?
Well, first of all, I don't know. I mean, I didn't know what it was, but I definitely didn't think we were staying in a high school, at least until, like, a few days before. I don't know what I was thinking.
You thought you would be at the Ritz, maybe? No.
I mean...
The Hyatt Hotel?
Yeah, and...
It was right down the street. We missed it.
Yeah, I had heard a lot of people just talking about, like, things from last year, so I guess that sort of gave me an idea of, you know, being with people from your parish, and you're working, but you're building stuff. I think the service was a little different in my mind. I thought we would be more, like, building stuff and just repairing it, but, I mean, it was fine either way. But yeah, the room situation... There were definitely a lot more kids in there than I thought would be, but I mean, it turned out okay because everyone would like got along. So
yeah, that's good. Bad. Well, because sometimes too, you're used to having your own room at home probably, and dealing with maybe a sibling or something like that, but not, you know, 35 or 40 other people that are vying for time and space. And yeah, so that's different. Also, we talked about, well, Thomas, I know this was not your first trip, and you've even gone on trips with other parishes, which is great too. So was it a different perspective from that standpoint?
I mean, most of the service projects that I do are mostly church related.
Okay.
I've been on ones with different church. Most of the ones I do are from St. James. That's my primary church I go to for this organization. This was my second year with them. I had been on, there's a church behind my house, Liberty Corner Presbyterian, that I had been on a couple with. The whole basic principle is the same. With Liberty Corner, though, I think, to a degree, there's always these people who kind of look at service and they go, well, you know, that's great. All these people are going away for a week, whether it be to a foreign country or whether it be just somewhere out of state. But... they're like, great, I can't take a week out of my time to do this kind of thing. With SHARE was the program they called it at Liberty Corner Presbyterian. Stuff we were doing there was day trips. We would take a day trip in Newark. We would take a day trip in Jersey City. Mm-hmm. We would work at places like World Impact and New City Kids. It was great. And it was one of those things where you kind of saw it like, look, it's... yes, it's in all these places, too. They're showing on the news. They're talking about in your church letters. But it's right at home, too. And I think that was kind of amazing. Just recently, actually, a week ago, we did a day trip with that church where the house we actually worked on was one of my neighbors. It was across the street and a house down.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, I've known the family for a long time. They've been family friends for a long time. Their house was white and not falling apart, but the landscaping needed a lot of work at the beginning. We took 4 day trips, and in that time, we had the entire thing, a blue coat of paint.
Nice.
We had repaired a lot. We had taken out almost half of the dying plants that she had in her front yard. I think it was fantastic. I've done a lot, and I've seen a lot of different kinds of things, you know, different degrees of what service can actually take form as. For something like Catholic Heart Works, it's kind of the same deal. Every time you're in a school, they take day trips going to the same place, same place, same place. But that's not all services. Service is kind of just looking to find a place that you know needs something or you feel like could use something more, and you're just offering your time to do whatever you can.
Yeah, and you made a good point there. You know, it's good to travel and get out of your comfort zone and out of your bubble and figure out where other people are living and how they're living. But also, you can look right across the street, and a neighbor might need help with mowing a lawn or pet sitting or even babysitting or something like that, or just, you know, yard work's hard. I mean, and people, when you buy a house, you don't realize all that goes into it. You know, it's a lot of work inside and out, and maintaining and repairing and things like that. So you guys helped out locally and in the tri-state area, so that's great. We talk a lot about scouting on this show, and so I'm going to go over to Cameron now and talk about your history with Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts, because you've been with that a long time, and you've done tremendous work with the Scouts. So you joined Cub Scouts when you were what, kindergarten or
first grade,
and then now you're what level are you?
Now I'm a first class in Boy Scouts, so that's 3 ranks away from Eagle. And I'm 15 right now, and you have to be Eagle by your 18. So I'm getting there.
Yeah. So what are you doing for your first class right now? What kind of project are you working on?
So first class, for my first class, I worked with Nicole right here to, with her Room to Read organization to, host a book drive and a book swap.
I remember that.
Oh yeah.
Was that Liberty Corner Presbyterian? Yeah.
I think I remember that.
Oh, all right, well then. So, yeah, we raised money for that organization. Now, for my STAR project, which is after first class, I'm working with another friend of Mrs. Smith in her organization called Sweet Reads to also organize books, because according to her, she has thousands of books that mm-hmm. she needs sorted through to make sure they're all in good condition. So I want to do that, and then also I'm going to work on building some bookshelves mm-hmm. to give to her and do whatever she needs with them.
Yeah, that's Sweet Reads is run by Tamiko Hubbard, and she was on the show in February. And just recently, they had a day at the ballpark with the Patriots baseball, Somerset Hills Patriot baseball team. And Ken Smith from Patriots baseball was also on the show at one point. And they had a big Grand Slam summer reading event, and they had some different books they were giving away, and they got to go out on the field. And I went with a couple other kids to go help them out with that that event at the baseball park. So yeah, sweetreads.org. It's a great organization that collects gently used books and new books from Barnes & Noble and gives them to underprivileged and areas where kids need books to build their home libraries. So I think you'll have make a good impact there. And that she's a great person and fun to work with. So that's sweetreads.org if you want to check that out. And we are on Happy to Help. It's a show about volunteerism and service. And if you are on Facebook and want to check us out on Facebook Live, we are on Happy to Help, or you can look it up at Happy Hunterdon and tune in and see what we're talking about and see Thomas and Cameron and all the good work that they're doing. All right, and let's see, what else can we talk about? We were going to talk about high school clubs. So Thomas is a rising senior in high school, and Cameron's a rising sophomore, and we're going to talk about the different service clubs that you've been involved with in high school as well. So Cameron, you, as a freshman last year, you joined a couple different clubs, and why don't you talk about your experience and why you joined those clubs and how they worked for you or didn't work for you?
Well, So I wanted to, it was my first year, and at our high school, they have a activities fair, which is where most or all of the clubs just go into the gym. They have a table set up, and you can go check them out and sign yourself up to join them. And when I was there going into ninth grade, I saw the UNICEF club and then CFC, which is the Christian Fellowship Club. And so I joined both of those. I went in with, I guess, high expectations. And, you know, some were met, some weren't, because as a high schooler, it is hard around everything else to, you know, organize and keep a club going to the extent of what you want to. So for the UNICEF club, I think we started out strong. During the year, we had a couple bake sales. We had school supplies drive in the beginning of the year. And I thought that was great. But towards the end of the year, we did falter out a little bit. We didn't keep going as much as I maybe would have liked to, especially when kids start losing interest halfway through the year. And then there's only like 10 kids going to the club meeting, and they want you guys to do everything else. So it's kind of hard to keep going with that.
Yeah.
But then for the CFC, it was also, it was
a CFC lot, was Christian.
The Christian Fellowship Club.
Okay.
So that was also a weekly thing. Monday morning, you just went in for half an hour to, you know, read different scripture and talk about it. I thought that was very good also at the beginning of the year. It really, I don't know, I guess it just gave me a good start to the week. It did get a little hard. I just don't think it was necessarily meant for me, because mm-hmm. just getting there was a little painful, and I didn't really feel the connection to the club mm-hmm. as much as other people might have. So that was just my idea. But now next year I'm gonna join the Room to Read club with Mrs. Smith and some other kids, and I don't know, I'm still looking for maybe one or two more clubs.
Yeah, well, and I think the good thing is you tried it out and you got to experience what, and that's typical of any club or any organization. You know, everyone gets all fired up at the beginning, and then life takes over because you've got your sports, you've got school, you've got testing, you've got all kinds of stuff that life demands of you. And so the first things to go sometimes are those optional clubs. And so that's probably why the attendance waned towards the end, because it's hard to keep it going, but it's good that you experienced it. And then again, you probably met some kids from school that you probably hadn't met before. Right. And so it's good to check it out. And then you discover whether this is for me, this isn't for me, because it all depends on what the subject matter is, what the leadership is, what the other people in the club, whether you gel with them or not, and whether the vibe is what you're looking for. So, Thomas, why don't you tell us a little bit about your club involvement at the school, and get close to the microphone.
Yeah, being told I can't really be heard. It's okay.
There you go.
That's okay. Better?
That's right. Better, I think.
Awesome. Well, I get what you're saying, Cameron. When I was a freshman, I went through, you know, kind of the same things. I went to the activities fair. That activities fair is huge.
Yeah.
It's this big thing at the beginning of the year. Like you said, everybody's in the gym. Literally every club has their own kind of table, chair, system set up.
Cookies.
Cookies, yeah.
Candy.
If they want to bribe people to join, yeah, definitely. They have advisors there kind of just to talk about the things you're doing, the things that they want you to do, sign up sheets for people to write down their emails if they're interested in. I signed up for a bunch that when I first went, specifically my brother. What?
You're just moving around. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's the first time. Right?
I know.
There was one called Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I think that's still very popular at Ridge. When I was a freshman, my older brother, what?
You're doing good. Go.
When I was a freshman, my brother was a senior, so he was really big into that club. A bunch of his friends were the leaders of that club, so they really tried to influence me to go. A lot of people from their grade had siblings in my grade, so they influenced us to go. It was kind of a lot like Cameron said, the Christian Fellowship was. It wasn't on a Monday or anything like that. It was at the end of the week, more so on Thursday, Friday. But it was just kind of a good way to end your week. You know, you'd go in the morning. They would read you a story about an athlete or just someone who you could find motivation from, inspiration, you know, taking inspiration from God or giving things back to God. And it was kind of just a fun way to, you know, see kind of real world people, people that we're supposed to look up to, and how they, you know, kind of react in this world, how their fame or how their fortune has changed them but not changed them so much. And I think that was really inspirational. Like you said, though, you know, the freshman kind of phase of joining as many clubs you can,
yeah,
or just looking into clubs for the first time, it got to me too. I stopped going to Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I think I'm going to start going next year, though, because I had a lot of fun with that. But it's more so when you first join freshman year, it's more so trying to like just put your foot in the water, trying to see, you know, what's comfortable, what you kind of like. Whereas sophomore and junior year, that's when you really have to dive in, see what you're really interested in, see what you really like to do. Personally, for me, I love music. I love to write. I write for both the school newspaper, which is called the Ridge Devil's Advocate, and the school literary magazine, which is called Devil's Quill. Devil's Quill is more like the creative, artistic side of Ridge, where people can put on poetry, you know, personal things from their college essays, or Devil's Advocate, where people write, you know, what's the news going on in school, what's the news outside of school that students are really talking about, really enjoying. I wrote a lot about entertainment because I'm a big fan of movies. I'm a big fan of entertainment. I wrote a lot about that. I got a lot of inspiration for my college essay from Devil's Quill. And I love music, so a friend of mine started up a music club called 12 Keys, where we can play just as friends, bring in our own instruments once a week, and then after a couple months work up to a point where we have a couple songs in our repertoire that if we gain enough money from donations, we can actually rent out a venue and have our own show. And I think that's something really cool, because not only is that a situation where it's able for people to get a kind of sense of what performing live would be like, but it's actually a great sense of building that community, you know, like inviting students and inviting adults that wouldn't necessarily be able to have something like this in their community. It shows what the student life of something like Ridge High School wants to give back, and I think that's really great.
Yeah, that's great. And you're pursuing your interests, writing, music, and then turning that into service or a skill set development, which is really good. And we talked a little bit about leadership. You talked about your when you were when they put you in different groups at the church, they usually had a couple older kids who had been before that were more of a leadership role, and versus the, you know, to kind of guide the younger ones, because like Cameron, who'd never been there before. So did you like having that leadership role?
I did. I've been a quote unquote leader. That's like what they call the older kids. Oh, dude. This is really annoying.
You're fine. Go ahead.
I have to like speak okay. Right. Is this good?
Yeah, this is good. Your mother wants to hear you.
My
so.
Mouth is
My
almost
mom.
Exactly on the metal.
Just pretend you're like
that's
one of the singers or,
you just know, try, like, yeah. I'm just tempted to
just
eat.
Just take
it.
A bite, yeah.
I'm tempted. It's okay.
Okay, so leadership role at the club, at the camp.
I've been a leader, quote-unquote leader at my church for 2 or 3 years now. I think it's great. It's just people who are really interested in that, people who really enjoy, you know, giving back to the community, you know, inspiring people to search their faith, go after their faith. That's something for you at a place like St. James. Those kind of leaders, my youth minister really wanted to pair up in these groups with the younger kids, the sort of younger kids that had never really had this sort of situation, had never really gotten a feel for what this could be like. I was one of two seniors who was in this, who was in my group. The groups they had at Catholic Heartworks were about 6 to 7 people, and the rest of the entirety of my group was comprised of freshmen, people who had just gotten out of freshman year, people who this was all their first time going on the trip. And to a degree, some people would say that's kind of bad, you know, hey, I want to be with the friends in my grade, I want to be with people I know, but in an aspect, at least in my opinion, I thought it was really great because I knew some of the freshmen, some of the ones I didn't know, I had the lucky chance to meet, and they inspired me, I feel like, as much as I inspired them, getting to know them and seeing that there are people who are still coming, who are still going out and doing things like that, I thought was really great. That and the fact that it, like I said before, it gives you a chance to meet the kinds of people who you might never get the chance to meet because high school is so big. Mm-hmm. I mean, you only have the chance to talk to so many people. I got to meet people with just incredible personality. I mean, I got to meet Cameron. I mean, come on. He's
fantastic. There. All right, that's wonderful. So we'll be back in a minute with more talk about leadership.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning. We're back. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help, a show about volunteerism and service. And this summer, I've tried to get a couple students into the studio to talk about their service because I believe I grew up this way where service was a part of our family value system and we were encouraged to do service. And I was a candy striper in the hospital and worked different places throughout college and after college. And so I think it's a good value to instill early on if you can. And I've got two young students here, Thomas and Cameron, who definitely have grown up in families that are community oriented and service oriented, and we all happen to go to the same church as well, so that's kind of how I know these guys, and they're friends with my kids, so I hijacked them. And I think these are the only two kids I know in New Jersey that don't play Fortnite every day 9 hours a day, so it was nice to have them come share their stories of service. And we were talking a little bit, if you want to listen to us on Facebook or watch us, we're on Facebook Live at Happy Hunterdon, or look up Happy to Help and you can see us. And Cameron, so before we were on the break, Thomas was talking about his leadership role at the camp this summer, and I know Cameron is no stranger to leadership. You've been a patrol captain within the Scouts organization, so can you tell us about when you've done that and how that made you feel? And
well, yeah, being a patrol leader is very, I don't know, it's very interesting in Scouts because it's hard when kids are like around your same age and you're supposed to be directing them and you're supposed to be telling them what to do, especially our troop. It was down to very few kids for a few years. So I'm 15 and I'm one of the oldest kids actually in it. So when kids that are even new that are only 11, that's still not that much of a difference. So it's really hard to get their respect and get their attention to let them you know, follow you. But, you know, there's, you got to do it because just how, it's just what you're expected to do. So I definitely will use, like, a lot of different techniques to try to at least get some sort of attention or respect. You want to be, like, upfront with them. You don't want to be mean to them because they're not going to, you know, give the respect that you want or deserve. But especially for meetings, it's very important because there's always something to talk about. There's always something to be doing. So without their attention, you know, it's not only them that's going to be getting in trouble. It's also me mm-hmm. because I'm expected to, you know, have control of them. And it's just not a good situation when no one's, like, following each other. But
so you've developed some leadership techniques, and you probably learned some of those from Mr. Pinto, your troop leader, or is he the troop
leader?
Yeah,
he's a scoutmaster.
Scoutmaster, yeah. So you get leadership skills from him, and then he lets you try them out with your younger charges, which is great. So Thomas was a leader at the camp. So do you see yourself returning to Mission Camp in future years and maybe becoming a leader there?
I think definitely. You know, I feel I'm not like there maybe to Thomas's level yet, but especially over the years and with Scouts helping me, because one of the main goals of Scouts is to, you know, help you get that leadership. And when you're doing merit badges, you need a counselor, and they don't want you just going to a person that you already know. They want you always reaching out to talk to someone else. So I think that would help, especially for the mission trip in the future, if I'm ever a leader then.
Yeah, and it's good to, reaching out is good because you deal with different personalities. So I know you have a summer job, and would you say your boss is a little bit challenging and demanding?
Yeah.
He's a character, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
he's
I
not listening, is he?
He might be. Who knows? Hey, no, he's great, but everybody's got different personalities. Like I remember when my kids talk about these group projects you do in school, and they're like, well, they, you know, they're not pulling their weight, and they're a difficult personality. And I tell them, I said, well, when you get out in the real world, you don't get to pick your boss. You don't get to pick who you're working with, and you need to learn how to work with different personalities, and that's what helps you grow. And challenges you. So I think the more that you're exposed to those kind of environments and people early on, then you know how to deal with it. You know, you're not, it's definitely a skill set, and there's always going to be those wild personalities and, or those people that are more introverted, and you just have to fit your personality in with how they're working and work together and get the job done. So I think those are good skills all the way around, whether it's leadership or fellowship or followership. I think it's all good. You just got to find your place in the world. And you guys are so young, you're still finding your place. And I think we're always still finding our place because our environments change. And the only thing that's constant in this world is change. So the more you can learn to adapt is a good thing. So any other thoughts you want to share about telling other young people out there about service and why they should get involved? You just got to get close to the microphone to tell them.
Yeah, got it. Just do it. I mean, there's not really much more I can say. I've been doing service projects, mission trips, stuff like that for I've been doing it since eighth grade. I did it with your son, Nicole. Your son when I was in eighth grade. That was really my first big trip. And since then, I wouldn't really say it's hooked me, but the experience is, it's fantastic. It builds you as a person, and even if I've had people who have had bad experiences with it because of whether or not the person they were assigned to do work for just wasn't really grateful, didn't really have things to say, didn't like really explain to them what they were supposed to do, and wasn't happy with the finished project. I've had ungrateful people I've done things for. I've had people who haven't really found this as a building experience. But even at the end of it, if you're doing service with other people, just the experience of being able, getting to meet other people and getting to, you know, kind of immerse yourself in a different community. I mean, when we went up to Plattsburgh, I was cleaning out a rectory. For those of you who don't know what a rectory is, it's basically the house next to a Catholic church where the priests all kind of live. They congregate, they have their meetings. was cleaning out an old rectory that they were going to demolish in a couple of months, they were hoping to. And while we were cleaning it out, it basically became a contest of who could work the least because...
Oh, no.
Not because we didn't want to. Not who could work the least, who could work the most, because the priest who was there directing us actually would not stop talking. He kept explaining things to us. He basically gave us an entire history on the town of Plattsburgh. He was showing us maps from the 80s. He was showing us all these different things. There was a safe in that rectory where he was just showing us the workings, like the inner workings of how church finances work. I mean, who would have ever guessed I'd ever learn about that?
An impromptu business course, right? There you go.
The kind of things I learned that prior to like the 1940s, all the records of a church were written in Latin. I mean, some people would find that useful information. I think that's awesome. I don't know, just the kind of things that you learn from this and the kind of people you get to meet. You could meet different people anywhere. You can have new experiences anywhere, but the kind of leadership position it puts you in and the feeling in your heart that it really gives you, I don't think any place or any opportunity is better than service for that. I think that's the reason why these hardcore parents influence their kids to do this so much. I think it's really important for a person in the long term. I think, for me at least, I don't know about you, Cameron, it's definitely going to affect a person like me who's getting ready for college.
Good. Cameron, any last words?
Yeah, just because even if you don't get the recognition that you necessarily want, it's in your own mind. You've already, you know, fulfilled what you wanted to do. And I think it's just good for your own mind, for your own like self-esteem that you're helping other people.
Yeah, I agree. And you never know who's watching. You never know who you're going to affect. So maybe some of the kids that you're leading, they look up to you, but they might not say so. And so they might be learning from you, and you might be affecting others, your peers or your fellow scouts that they might not say so, but they're definitely looking up to you and learning from you. So I think you just never know who you're going to impact or what impact you're going to have. There's the given impact that you're helping the people with the house or the building or the rectory or whatever space you're in, but you're also affecting yourself and others. So I think it's a really good thing. So I'm really glad that you all took some of your valuable summer time out to come.
Oh, I wouldn't be doing anything.
At least you're honest.
Just procrastinating.
I know,
doing,
right?
Other stuff.
I know. Well, that's good.
This is where you're supposed to lie.
No. That's okay. Summer's for downtime. I totally believe in the importance of downtime. So thank you both, Thomas and Cameron, and continue doing the good service work that you do and inspiring others. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
First, the 12 boys who'd been trapped in a cave in Thailand for over 2 weeks were out of the cave. Now they're out of the hospital and talking to reporters. That youth soccer team and their coach holding a news conference a short time ago. This boy saying through a translator he was the one who led the first rescuers to the rest of the group.
I grabbed the torch for Mick, and then I came down, and then I greeted them. I said, hello.
A wildfire outside Yosemite National Park in California continues to grow. The Ferguson fire is up to 13,000 acres and only 5% contained, currently threatening about 100 buildings. In Washington State, a wildfire burning near Spokane has forced evacuations of about 800 homes. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey guys, your prostate should be the last thing on your mind, but the fact is, the older you get...
On Fox saying it looks to be an ISIS-related attack.
An airport just like Brussels, it's like the sequel to Brussels. It's the second anniversary of the caliphate. Unlike the PKK, which strikes military, they often strike civilian targets.
Istanbul's governor saying over a dozen foreign nationals believed to be among the dead, more than 230 people injured in the attack that started with terrorists opening fire on people outside a security checkpoint, all three attackers then blowing themselves off. Toyota is recalling nearly 1.5 million hybrid Prius and Lexus models because of a possible airbag inflator problem, the recall affecting 2010 to 2012 cars. This is USA Radio News at usaradio.com.
If 9 out of 10 of your best friends recommended a restaurant, would you try it? If 9 out of 10 of your best friends recommended a good book, would you read it? Word-of-mouth recommendations from friends are endorsements of quality and value. And that's how it is with